All righty then. I'm going to check something in sports right in front of you. Because I'm very interested to see about them. Because yesterday, of course, was Hall of Fame voting. And it was a historic day. But anyways, let's bring in Mike Causey. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you?
I'm good.
All right, let's talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame.
All right.
Now, I think it's great that Mariano got in, and I think it's great that Mariano got in with 100% of the votes.
Yeah, usually you get some crackhead rider that wants to be the standout and say, oh, I'm the guy that voted against him.
Babe Ruth had 30 people vote against him. This is Babe Ruth had 30 writers vote against him. Mickey Mantle had 23. Ken Griffey Jr., okay?
He had three people.
Three people. And you just wonder, what were these
people? See, I believe that.
Ted Williams had 20 people vote against him.
That the people that should vote in the Hall of Famers are the players that played in that era of the person that played. The sports writers shouldn't, because the sports writers are a bunch of nerds that probably wouldn't know what end of a bat to hold if they didn't watch any film.
All right, so...
That's what I think, because who knows the talent of a player better than the players that played against them?
Yeah.
And to think that the players that you mentioned had people to vote against them, that was purely personal.
Ted Williams, not come on.
Let me ask you another question. Yeah. How could Curt Schilling not be in the Hall of Fame?
Well, he will be next year. He will be.
I would bet against that, because people don't like his political stances.
Now, he got 62% of the vote this year.
60.9.
He'll definitely make it in.
I'll bet you he doesn't.
Really? I think he'll make it in. I don't think there's any question that Schilling will make it in.
People are holding his political stances over his head, which has nothing to do with the way he played baseball.
Now, I was kind of surprised by Mike Mussina until I looked at his stats.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't think Mussina belongs in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he belongs in the Hall of Fame over Curt Schilling.
You're right. Schilling should have entered before him. But he did have 270 wins and only 153 losses, and his ERA was 3.68, which nowadays is considered good. But back in the old days, that wasn't considered
3.68
good.
Is like borderline. He won a lot of games with the Orioles. He had some decent seasons with the Yankees. But again, when I think of the Hall of Fame, I think of the greatest players in that position of all time. Mike Mussina does not come to mind to think of one of the greatest pitchers of all time.
Yeah, no, it's a...
Curt Schilling does, not Mike Mussina.
It was interesting to see to see the list and I was surprised about Edgar Martinez.
Not me,
but
the way the game has evolved as far as DHs go, there's nobody in baseball that can come close to the way he performed at the plate.
Well, I've said I was going to change my mind. I changed my mind when I looked at his stats. His on base percentage was 418, so that's roughly 42%. His batting average was .312. His slugging percentage was .515. And you look at those numbers over the course of his career, and you say, "Yeah, okay, you're right."
And in my opinion, when he played, pitching was a lot better than it is now.
Yeah.
There was more depth in pitching on every team than they have now. So, yeah, with the way baseball is now, with the DH, yeah, Edgar Martinez. The only guy I could think that comes close to him is Jim Rice.
Yeah. Well, no, how about, what's his name? He's going to get in the Hall of Fame, the guy from Boston, Ortiz.
Yeah, I mean, but I still consider him a first baseman. Okay. Although he played the end of his career as a DH, Edgar Martinez basically played most of his career as a DH.
All right,
but you're going to have people that vote against Ortiz, and to me, I think nobody should vote against Ortiz. The things he did in the postseason, unheralded.
Yeah.
He single-handedly led the charge in the biggest collapse ever when the Red Sox came back 3-0 from the Yankees. Whether you like it or not, if it wasn't for Ortiz, that would have never happened. And he was one of the greatest postseason performers I ever saw.
Yeah, no, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. But first Mariano Rivera, undoubtedly, he deserved to get 100%, and I'm glad he did.
You know, people like David Ortiz and Derek Jeter, for the way they acted and the way they played in baseball, are definite first ballot Hall of Famers. They just are. They just are.
If those two guys don't get on the first ballot, there should be an investigation. Yeah. Because not only should they get in on the first ballot, they should get in with like 99% of the vote.
Yeah, yeah. It's
I said, the sports writers should have nothing to do with voting Hall of Fame because it's all personal, and the players of the people that played against the players at that time should have the vote.
All right, so that's the Hall of Fame. Mariano goes in with every vote, every box clicked. All right, where else do we want to go in sports?
We can go to college basketball. Yesterday, a couple of big teams played. Duke beat Pittsburgh by 15, and that was a lamb being led to slaughter, just like Wake Forest in Virginia. A big game yesterday was Mississippi State and Kentucky. Mississippi State ranked in the top 25, and Kentucky beat them by 21. So Kentucky slowly rounding back into form. Auburn lost again after the defeat against Kentucky Saturday. South Carolina beat them 80-77. And the fields are starting to show who the creams of the crops are. Alabama with another upset yesterday. Upset meaning that Alabama beat Kentucky in the first SEC games back at the beginning of the conference play. They beat Mississippi yesterday by 21, 74-53. Alabama is one of those teams that could step up at any time and beat anybody. They're not a very, very good team. They're not a top-caliber team, but they have enough of talent to be an upset chance at any time, and they showed that again yesterday, beating Mississippi.
All right. Interesting story. On the NFL, with the NFL admitting that the refs blew it and everything like that. There is a rule in the NFL, by the way. Rule 17.
What, the one for the commissioner?
Yeah, Rule 17, mm-hmm. Section 2, Article 1. Mm-hmm. The commissioner has the sole authority to investigate and take appropriate disciplinary or corrective measure mm-hmm. if any club action, non-participant interference, or calamity occurs in an NFL game,
yep.
which the commissioner deems so extraordinarily unfair as to outside the accepted tactics encountered in professional football
yep.
that such action has major effect on the result of the game.
Yep, that would be a great way for the game to get its integrity back.
Absolutely, but it's never going to happen.
Nope.
Never going to happen.
For every click of every tick of the clock that takes place, it won't happen. And it won't happen because Goodell has no intestinal fortitude to do it. It was a blatant miscall, determined the outcome of a season, not just a game.
Yep.
And if any time a commissioner should flex his muscles and do it, it's now.
Yeah, but it
won't
happen.
But he won't do it.
That's it.
He won't do it. And you know what? Football fans should boycott the Super Bowl. They should say, to heck with it. I'm not watching it because the team that belongs in it doesn't belong in it. And just goes to show you that the performance on the field does not determine the outcome of the game necessarily when the referees are involved the way they were involved Sunday. It's a calamity. It's a joke.
Here's why the NFL really loses big time with the release of this rule publicly to everybody. Owners obviously put this rule in for a reason.
Uh-huh.
And if ever there was a reason on the playing field, this is it.
Yep, you can't get more blatant than this.
And whether you like it or not, with legalized gaming popping up in so many different states where people can legally bet on these games, the NFL completely right now has lost any standing.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can see this now. If some big high roller lost like $6 million on this game, there would be a huge lawsuit.
Yep. And you know what I would do if I was the owner of the Saints? I'd spend the money, whatever it is, for those ridiculous commercials that they show during the Super Bowl, and I'd show a 30-second slow-motion replay of the blown call, and just then put the big Saints insignia on top of it, and saying, "We should be playing." Yeah. That's all. No music, no sound, no nothing. Just show the replay over 30 seconds, and just say, "The Saints should be playing." Just to stick it to the NFL. That's what I would do. I'd spend the $9 million. It'd be money well spent.
All right, now we got to get on to the weather, but hey, let's go, Mo Rivera.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. He definitely 100%. I'm glad he got it.
You know, and I hate to say this, a lot of people are going to get mad at me. Yankees don't have Mo. I don't care if they have the other people. They don't win 5 championships.
No doubt.
Oh, they just don't. They just don't.
No doubt.
All right. I'll check with you tomorrow.
Have a great day, guys.
Take care. Mike Causey with a check on sports this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio. And yes,